Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, a show designed to share spiritual insights with you so that you can comprehend the universe and how it functions. You are about to experience raised consciousness. This is a place where spiritual principles are shared with the goal of assisting you to expand your understanding of both the seen and unseen worlds. Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality helps you to discern the timeless truths handed down from wise sages through the ages from the airy-fairy nonsense that is being taught today. Now, here is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth.
Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, the radio show that disseminates esoteric knowledge and common sense spirituality. Now, I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, creator of Namology Science, which is the ability to know all about a person's personality and their soul's purpose from a person's name. Now, the beautiful music that you heard coming in is called part of the song called Shine by Dee Lamour. And we always end our shows with her song. And if you want to hear more of her music, you can find her at dlamour.com, D-L-E-M-O-R.com. Our topic today is soul progression. What exactly is our pathway to enlightenment, and what exactly does that mean? Do we have soul families, and do those families progress together? Do we have a permanent mother and father in our soul family, or do we constantly change roles? How do other beings assist us humans on our soul's progress? Are there scheduled check-in times from what some may call our master guides to assist us? Can a soul progress without ever being reincarnated? What does it mean when someone says, listen to your heart? These and other questions are going to be answered today by our special guest, who is Pat Robertson-Rice. Now, Pat Robertson-Rice offers spiritual counseling services that allow individuals to obtain the missing piece of information needed to come to terms with any issue that is currently being faced, decide on proper courses of action, and finally move forward in life. Helping others move through the most difficult times in their lives is her spiritual commitment, and she is wonderful at it. Help is just a phone call away for her. She has written the book, Greatness Thrust Upon Us. And I had heard about Pat in 2007 when I was living in China, and I had a session. And the first part of her reading was absolutely magnificent. And I thought, oh my gosh, I love this. Then I asked her a bunch of questions. And every single answer, I thought, that would never happen. That can't be. That would just never happen. Anyway, I put that tape away. And about 6 months later, I was getting ready to move from China and come back to the United States. And when I was going through everything, because you could only take what you could get in two suitcases. So I listened to that tape again. And sure enough, every single one of her answers that she had given me, 100% had come true, even though I was so disbelieving at the time. And I always like to tell that story because if you have a session with Pat and she gives you an answer that you go, no way, just wait and watch it how it comes to manifest itself. Anyway, I want to introduce to you and share with you my good friend, Pat Robertson-Rice. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Oh, and thank you for having me today, and hello to everyone listening out there. You're very lucky that Sharon has fixed this wonderful time that all of us can tune in and learn something.
Okay, so we want to know about soul progression. What exactly is our pathway to enlightenment, and what does that mean, Pat?
Okay, so the first thing I think we need to understand is a soul is that has a little piece of God's DNA. And you might say, well, why? And the answer is that God wanted to have to experience every possible thing to experience on the earth. But he is one huge, wonderful deity, and the earth is relatively large, and it would be hard for him to experience life here on earth. And so it was very important to have what we would call children. So the truth is that the Bible says we all have a divine connection. We're all children of God. And that is the absolute truth because we have that piece of DNA. Now, the second thing to understand is why he wanted to have these people. And the answer is that the universe is continually growing. And so he and the angels that he created on the first day, could the angels are more to do his bidding and, you know, help him shape the earth and everything. But the universe is expanding. It's not just our planet. And so what he would like to have are some people who could help him with situations here on the earth or perhaps in our solar system. And so the souls were created. Well, there's a problem with that because in heaven, there's nothing but serenity and joy and peace and unconditional love. And there's no way to know about how a person might react to adverse circumstances. And so it's just like when a married couple have a beautiful child and they send the child to school so it will be taught the right things and they will meet some adversities and some problems and learn how to cooperate with other people. The same thing was true for the souls. They needed to be schooled. And so the earth became the school. So the truth of the matter is, if somebody said to you tonight, where are you from? And you'd say, oh, I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, or I'm from New York City. No, you're not. You're from heaven. And earth is the school. This is where you come for a lifetime, just like children go to private schools or they go to public schools for, you know, 8 hours a day or 5 hours a day, however old they are, and then they return home. And so we come down to earth with a soul chart. In other words, there is an entire plan for the lessons that we are to learn in this lifetime. There's a plan for the people that we are supposed to meet up with who will help us with these lessons. There's a planned mother and father that will help this come onto the earth. And so, therefore, there's nothing, harum scarum about it, or nothing that's not planned. Absolutely nothing. The chart for the life is something that people can read just like they can read an astrology chart or what have you. And so we don't come down here and just fall up in a family and start our lives. There's a plan for all of that. So it's important for you to understand that there's a bigger purpose, and that is for us to learn all of these hundreds of lessons that we have to go through. It's just like people in the first grade have to learn how to read and how to write before they can go into the 12th grade and get promoted to go out into the world. So we have to keep coming down to planet Earth until we have completed our lessons and we have passed our lessons. Now, Sharon, the thing of it is that all the people on this Earth were not born at the same time. If we look at the census from 2010, because we haven't quite gotten our new census, there were 7.2 billion souls on the planet. Some of those souls had only been here two or three lifetimes. Some of those souls had been here 120 lifetimes. The average soul, when you're asking me about the soul's progression, the average soul will have between 500 and 600 lifetimes down here. And you say, no way, no way. Well, some books say we have more than that, and then some books say we only have 200. Information that it's never said exactly in the Bible, so we just have to go on what people channel in or what people or, you know, research and so forth. But the answer is we come down here to get all this work done about 500 or 600 lifetimes.
Now, J.J. Dewey has said that it's 1,000. The average is 1,000. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, is that depressing or what? Anyway, keep going. I like 500 to 600.
No, I mean, I'm saying every book I read said something different. So finally, I just decided that I would take the number I saw most often, you know, because I've been working on the soul for 12 years now, and I have a tremendous amount, a collection of books on that. But anyway, another point that we would like to make is that there's always been a goal for the soul. And the goal is to finish the school and to go back to heaven, to ascend, you know, back in the heaven, and never have to take an earth body. Now let's talk about the difference in the spiritual part and the physical part. Souls do not have thick bodies like we do. They don't. They're willowy, they're wispy, and so when the souls are coming down to earth, they have to have a protection around them. Souls, if you think about, think about what the movies do to souls. They do a good job. You know, you've seen it, and this thing appears in the room, and you can see like a robe or see a face with a mantle over it or something. But if you go to put your hand through it, you know, it's not solid. So that's the truth about the soul. It's not solid. And so to get along down here, to birth babies and drive cars and have all these experiences that the soul is supposed to do, then it has to have a protective covering. And so the body that's most conducive to planet Earth has two legs and two arms and a head and feet for walking and so forth. And so my point is that in order to have these experiences, these lessons that we are supposed to have, then we will have, as I've said before, people show up in our lives at certain times who also agreed as part of the chart to be there, such as our mother and father. Now, Sharon asked me the question earlier, or said we would talk about, do you always have the same mother and father? No, because as part of God's exploration, we have to take part in every civilization. We have to take part in every type of religion. We have to take part in all ethnicities. We have to take part in nationalities. And so we can't just come down here every time and be a Roman because we thought it would be fun to be in the Roman Empire. We have to go in all civilizations, and we have to learn lessons in all civilizations, continue to learn these hundreds of lessons that we come down here. And so it's a cumulative effort. But the plan, the finale, the reason you go through all this is that at some point in your life, sometime around 500 lifetimes or to 600 lifetimes, at some point you complete everything for graduation. And people are always asking me, they say, well, Pat, my God, what is it that we have to do? Well, first of all, you have to finish every single lesson, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. Number two, you have to balance the left and right hemispheres of your brain. You see, some souls down here are male, and some souls down here are female. And it's very typical for science to tell us that if you are in a male body, you are going to typically go out into the world and meet your challenges and, you know, come out of a left brain thinking. Left brain thinking says, okay, we've got a job to do. Give me a list. Let me get on it. Don't worry too much about it if you step on somebody. The end result is what you need, and be all you can be. So you have to balance that. Go-getter, motivator, do it, accomplish it, against the female brain, which is obviously more of what females work out of, and which is intuitive, you know, like, oh, I think I know a way we can solve that, or we don't need to kill everybody in our path. Let's try to heal. Let's try to mediate. Let's try to negotiate. Let's try a little love. And so you have to be able, as one of your qualifications, at the drop of a hat, boom, you have to be able to perform as a male in your thinking, if that's what the situation calls for, or you have to be able to perform as a female in your thinking. You must balance your brain. That's one of the requirements that you have to do. Another one is that you have to merge with your higher self. So let's talk about the two selves. One is the physical self that is protecting the soul, okay? That's your arms, your eyes, your legs, your actions in the outer world. The other part is called the higher self, and this is your spiritual self. It does not come down here with you. It stays in the higher place, mainly because its vibration is high, like angels, and you just don't see angels working down here. It's the vibration is too low. You don't pass angels every day on the way to work because they can't function down here. Their vibration is way too high. And the same thing is true for the higher self. So one of the fabulous things as you progress, and you get more, you know, trotting through this life and getting more lessons, at some point, the higher self will come down and merge into you. In other words, it's no longer separate. You are functioning with a higher brain. You are functioning with higher consciousness.
That's a perfect place to leave off.
Oh,
and give some suspense here while we take our first commercial break. Stay tuned and we will be right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Pat Robertson Rice is a magnificent spiritual counselor. She can help you to recognize your gifts and talents. How do you identify who you are created to be? Are you an artisan, an inventor, a manager, or something else? How do you identify your innate abilities when they are different from your family's, or from our educational system, or from the industries popular in your community? How do you identify talents that are hidden, yet completely innate and natural to you? Contact Pat Robertson Rice at spiritualbeginnings101.com for an illuminating journey about your life path.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Pat Robertson Rice. Pat, right before the break, we were talking about how the higher self merges into what you're calling the lower self. The lower self not being less than the higher self, it's just by their location. One's on earth and one's not. Okay, go ahead and continue, please.
Okay, so when those qualifications have, you know, you graduate, so to speak, and at that point, you are eligible for ascension. Now, we need to talk about enlightenment first, and because that usually comes before the act of ascension. Now, enlightenment can be two things. First of all, if we talk about just the spiritual part, the enlightenment is the point at which you realize that you have totally surrendered to the fact that there is a wonderful creator, and you just simply find your most joy in serving your fellow man and in doing for God what he would do were he on the earth. So that's more like the spiritual part. The word that we use today for enlightenment would be consciousness. So I call to your attention, there was a wonderful lady in India, and my mind is gone blank right now, who just died. And everyone said that she probably was as enlightened, not Mother Mira, but there, who is also an enlightened being on our planet. Oh, what was her name in India?
I don't know. I guess keep thinking of Mother Amma, the hugging saint, but she's still around.
It'll come to me in just a minute. Well, anyway, she only died 2 or 3 years ago, and they called her one of the most conscious people on the planet. So consciousness, high consciousness, equates to the understanding of the spiritual principles. So usually what happens is that in that lifetime, that last lifetime, you have a tremendous consciousness and you are trying to help the world, you know, and you're trying to do things to help our planet or help our people. So you write the greatest book, or you paint the greatest picture that stands through the ages, or you make the greatest invention, or you lead the greatest masses to understanding, or whatever your spiritual mission was on the earth. But once you have the qualifications, and once you have that type of consciousness, usually within the same lifetime, you will ascend. Now, ascend was not the word they used in the Bible. They used it as translation and transfiguration. And we have three accounts in the Bible of people who did not have to die a physical death. Now, catch what I'm saying. Until you become enlightened, every time you're born, you go through life and you die a physical death, and you go back up to heaven, and you study, you know, you work in classes about the things that you need to improve on when you come back the next time. And so in the last lifetime, you are gifted for all of your hard work, let's put it that way, by not having to have a physical death. You actually take the body with you that you are in that last lifetime. So you might be a man in your enlightened lifetime, and so when you go up into heaven, you will resemble a masculine identity. If you were a woman, you will be taken up into heaven, and you will resemble a feminine identity. Well, that's your reward for finally getting all of the lessons done, getting your brain, you know, fixed the right way, achieving all of the things that God has asked you to do so that you will be a worthy, you know, contributor in heaven. Now, if you want to talk about another thing that many people are writing about, it's the fact that in order for our bodies to be carried into the heavens, that the body has been changing probably since your 250th lifetime, about in the middle way when you become more of a mature soul than a younger soul. And as you progress in consciousness, our bodies are composed of carbon. Now, all of us sat in a high school class where they had the chart on the wall. And carbon and silicon are right next to each other. Carbon is what our bodies were made out of. The Bible verse says he dipped into the dust of the earth and the water from the river and made the clay man, you know, made the protective body. So we are made out of carbon. Nobody disputes that. Scientists, everybody in the world knows that. But the point is that starting in about the mature levels of your lifetimes, about 250, as we become more conscious, our carbon cells slowly begin turning to silicon. Silicon is a much higher vibrational mineral than the carbon. And so each successive lifetime after, you know, about 250, we get a little bit more of the silicon in us. We get a little bit more. Now, there was a very famous man, and he wrote Power Versus Force, which was a well-received book by cosmologists and quantum physicians and spiritual people. And in his third chapter, he gave me a piece of information that finally made me understand. And he said, now this is in physics terms, when the body reaches 80 hertz, hertz is a very highbrow vibration, 22,000 nanos per. And he said, when the body reaches 80 hertz, it cannot, gravity cannot hold it on the planet. So the quantum physicians are saying there is a scientific principle to you becoming light, to you becoming more angelic, to you becoming a very conscious person. And at that point, you could very easily be lifted off the earth by some angels or whatever that process is, to go and remain in heaven. So to go back to my original point, the goal of every soul that's ever born in his first life down here on earth is to accomplish all of these lessons and things. And then in the last lifetime, he ascends. The soul never ever has to take a body again. It dwells, just like the Bible talks about, in heaven with God and the angels, and you do, you know, whatever the job is that God finds for you to do, because his name is, he's very pleased that we have finished this huge task that was put to us and finds us worthy. Now, Sharon,
before you go to another topic, first, just a second. Babaji in India, there are pictures of Babaji. Literally, he had already ascended his lifetime previously, and he manifested a physical body, full-grown man, over a period of approximately 40 days, if my memory serves me right.
Wow.
And he manifested it, and it was like a dust ball. You know, like Linus in the Peanuts, and has that dust ball. It looked like a dust ball, and people started taking pictures. And so it is very well documented his entire time, however long it did take him, to manifest that physical body. And he sat in one spot and he manifested it because he got to, from dust to dust, he got to create his own body because the lifetime before he did not physically die. And so it is possible to come back if you want to be of service. And he was here of great service. Mm-hmm. And then he left again the same way he came. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's all miraculous. I mean, can you imagine that the Bible has a phrase that's very interesting? And I know that many of you, 15 years ago, somebody wrote this unbelievable best-selling series of books, you know, about the rapture. Well, the rapture, just simply in the Bible, it says two were gleaning in the field, and in the blink of an eye, one was gone. In other words, they were just taken straight up into heaven. Now, we have three accounts in the Bible of people who were so Well, Enoch walked and talked with God, and so as a gift to him, he did not have to die a physical death. And most of you know the story in the Bible about the burning chariot that came down and got Elisha and took him to heaven. He didn't have to die a physical death. And then I think everybody knows the story. Obviously, we just had Easter about Jesus, you know, being taken after 40 days up into the heavens. So
now your UFOlogists are going to say that they were taken up into spaceships. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh,
okay, keep going.
They will. And it doesn't matter. They offended, didn't they?
They did. They were off of here. Okay,
keep
going.
They were here. They did their job, and whoever sent them took them back. You know? Yes. Now, you wanted to ask, you mentioned about, do we have the same mother and father? No, we do not, because as I told you, we have to have different ethnicities and different nationalities and be in different places. And those two people couldn't follow us around for 500 lifetimes. I mean, it would be impossible for all of us to be perfectly placed with those same people.
But what about our soul families, like in heaven? No. Do we have the same in our soul families? Do we have positions like that, or are we all pretty much equal?
Now, let's tell the people about that. Okay, every soul has an oversoul, the big soul, the one that, you know, has the direct blueprint, you know, from God. And, you know, like I said, you cannot taste everything on the earth, talking about God, you know, as big as this planet is, and probably the other planets too. And so one soul is created. And so that the soul can get around to a lot of places, that soul breaks off into 12 fragments. Now, we all know about holograms. We know that even though it's a piece, it has the whole work to it. And so to begin with, we have the 12 souls that go out from the mother soul or the central soul or the oversoul. They call it different things. And so they go out, and then once they come back in, they say, you know, we're not covering a lot of territory down here. And so each of the 12 breaks into another 12. So now we have 144, and that's our soul family. So when the charts are being made out for the souls, you have 144, like, cousins, or whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. brothers and sisters from the first break off, and then from the other break, like cousins. And it's not hard to find somebody who will come in and say, okay, I need a wife, somebody to come in and play my wife this time, and the lesson I'm going to have to learn is about disloyalty. And so somebody says, well, look, okay, what... You know, when are you incarnating? They say, yeah, now I can't stay the whole time, but I can be there 40 years. And so it takes 5 years to make your chart of all the things that are going to happen and all the people that are going to come into your life. And so the soul picks the brothers and sisters that you will have in a lifetime, and the mother and father. And then the primary people, you know, like somebody you would marry or your favorite teacher or a boss or somebody that's going to help you in some great way. So the lives are different every time we come down, but we'll usually have one person out of our 144 in each life.
Oh,
we'll usually have one person, yeah. And sometimes we'll have three or four. Now, I get tickled. Sometimes people will call me and say, well, I just want to know about my soulmate. And I say, well, you might not want me to explain it to you because the soulmate isn't exactly what you're thinking about. Soulmate does not always have to be romantic. Sometimes it is, but lots of times it could be your mother. And you all asked to be together in this life, or it could be your father, or it could be your brother, or it could be your best friend, or the most instrumental person that helps you change your life and go in a different direction. And so the soulmate is the person that we are the most attracted to, that seems to have what we need, you know, in our lifetimes. And the soulmate isn't for the entire life. You know, you just meet and go do what you need to do together so that you can get a good quality or you can get through a lesson and this person helps you, and then you all can move on. But it's not always, in America, for some reason, we have latched onto that phrase that it's going to always be the perfect person for you, you know.
I call those soul partners, the perfect person.
That's a better way to say it. You know, it's a much better way to say it. And partners may come and stay 20 years, or they may stay 50, or they may stay 30. You know, we don't always have to be with one person our entire life. That was not the way it was planned. For we are to experience, you know, as many experiences, and we're down here to learn about relationships. How to be in a relationship the proper way. But there was something you asked me a minute ago. Mother Teresa, Lord have mercy. Everybody knows about Mother Teresa being the most sainted or the most conscious person on the planet, or they said the highest vibrational person on the planet when she died 2 or 3 years ago. And so, I was just saying that that's how you know when a person is so filled with God, they have nothing but light all around them. The painters used to paint a halo over people's heads to show that they were very enlightened people. And then sometimes they would paint a gold thing all the way down to their shoulders shining, you know, around them. You'll usually see that with Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus, people like that, if they don't have the little circle over their head.
You know, that's their auric field. And I went to a lecture one time when I was down in Texas. And anyway, I was invited to a lecture and I went with somebody. And that person radiated and had such an auric field that you could see that around them. And I thought, this is what the artists are seeing around people when they paint that. It was just fascinating to me to be able to see.
Yes, and the first one I ever saw, a lady was giving a lecture, and these pink things and purple things, her whole head, you know, was the yellow, but these pink and purple things for the ideas. She was so excited, you know, about her topic, and I thought, wow, I am really seeing something here. It was the first time I ever saw one. And I know you just think, oh, wow, this person must be pretty advanced, you know, if they've got all of that indication coming around them.
Oh, no, but I didn't think that at all. I thought, am I seeing things? Am I seeing this clearly? Blink, blink, rub the eyes.
You were questioning it, huh?
I was. Anyway, keep going.
All right.
Oh, you know what? Before you keep going, we've got to break for our second time for our second commercial break, and we will be right back again. Stay tuned.
All right.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The why is hidden in your name. Sharon Lynn Wyeth has created a scientific way of deciphering your name to reveal your contract for this lifetime. And your name even specifies the seven areas that are subsets of your soul's overall goal. Your name identifies who you are to both yourself and others. What does your name say about you? Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for your stunning name review.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Luminescence, the Common Sense Spirituality. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Pat Robertson Rice. Now, Pat, how do people get in touch with you before we go on?
Well, the office phone number is 336-815-1538. The website is spiritualbeginnings101.com. And on that website, I list all of the different types of sessions that people can have in trying to help themselves, you know, with whatever it is that seems to be blocking them. But the special thing that I do is called the Soul Chart. And this is a 2.5-hour presentation of the 10 things that you need to know about your soul and what you're here to do. And it will help you understand some of the family dynamics. It will help you understand the lessons that keep occurring in your life. And you say, my God, this is the third time this has happened. And so we talk about where that comes from and how to release it. And then some dates and times for special things that, like Sharon was talking about, that are coming up in your life, you know, that you can look forward to. So that's how they can get in touch with me, by phone or either through the website.
Okay, before we go further, earlier today you talked about translation or transfiguration.
Transfiguration.
What's the difference between the two?
I don't know that there is. They just use two terms in the Bible. One was used in the Old Testament, and one translation was in the Old Testament, and transfiguration was in the New. So, I don't know. I guess they meant the transfiguration from a carbon body into, you know, the soul body that was ascending. I don't know why they had it that way.
Okay.
I don't think there is much difference. I think it was just, you know, the Bible was translated into Greek and later translated into something else. So, it just may be that type of thing. The other thing I wanted to point out today about souls is that every soul that comes down here has three goals, three things that the Creator hopes that you will be able to do and do extremely well. The first one happens to have been in our Ten Commandments, and that is to love God and to respect God. Now, you might say, well, why would God need for us to love him? I mean, he's the supreme creator up there. Well, the interpretation of that is that if we love God, we will walk in the ways that he wants us to walk. In other words, we will make the right choices, we will do the right things, we will follow the spiritual laws, and we will try each time we come down here to be a better person. The second goal that we are to do every time, because it's different every time, is to perfect our gifts and talents. And if God is going to be kind enough to give you a gift, then they say, don't hide your light under the bushel. In other words, you are supposed to use this to glorify the world. In other words, if you are supposed to be a great painter and you love to sketch, but you don't ever do anything with it, then you've not brought your glory. You have not brought your greatness out, because the gifts are supposed to bring out the best parts of you. And so I always, when I'm, you know, working with parents about their children, I say, you know, you need to listen to what your child is saying. You need to watch what the child goes to early in his life. Does he doodle? Does he draw? Does he sing? Does he dance? Does he want to play sports? And take your clues from that, because you need to do some little activities with them or send them to a little summer program that's going to emphasize the early showings of what gift the person has inside. Because if you perfect your gift, not only are you giving something to the world, like a pretty picture or a pretty song or, you know, a great athletic event or whatever your skill set happens to be, maybe you're a fabulous writer. You know, a lot of kids write and they don't ever show it to anybody. So I urge the parents to be very careful when they're young. At about 08, kids go to school and they learn that other people don't, you know, not everybody sees fairies and not everybody writes stories and they make fun of you and that kind of stuff. And so you start hiding your gifts. And many times, if you don't have the right kind of parents, or perhaps you don't have parents who can afford it, you don't get the private lessons or get to go to the summer enrichment programs or what have you. But perfecting the gift gives the greatness back to God, because he's the one that gave it to you. Now, people are always saying, well, what are those gifts? I want to know if I've got it. Well, the Bible tells you very plainly what the gifts are. One of the gifts is the gift of knowledge. So these would be, you know, Einstein, people like that. The gift of wisdom. These are people that have the right words and the right understanding to help someone, like a counselor or what have you. The gift of healing. Thank God for our doctors and nurses. Gift of prophecy. All of us like to check that January 1st. Newspaper at the food line or wherever you shop and see what the psychics have said, you know, about what's coming up in the year. The working of miracles, the speaking in tongue, discernment of spirit, and the gift of faith, which is a wonderful gift. So that's what the Bible says the spiritual gifts can be. And we all have a gift. The question is it a spiritual gift or is it a personal gift? And this is where people look at, you know, people winning the Heisman Trophy or winning the best written book of the year, and they say, well, I don't have any gifts. Well, that's not true, because there's another whole set of gifts, and these are called your personal gifts. And so you might look at your child or yourself. One of the gifts that you can have is the gift of administration. The person who's the head of the company or the head of the school system or the head of the church or what have you. Another one is service. These are the people who, in the soup kitchens, these are the people that we've seen on TV bagging up the food and loading people's cars with it that don't have any money. They're out of work. Some people like hands-on work. There's a gift of teaching. That can be in the church or in the classroom. So all of you who are out teaching in a college or a community college or whatever, you have a gift.
I would say, or on the radio.
Oh, yes, if you're a Sharon Wyeth, you have a gift.
Or a Pat Guest, right? Teaching on the radio.
And another one is encouragement. Where would all of us be if a guidance counselor or a coach or a teacher or your best friend hadn't said, you know, you really need to go into fashion. you have a knack for putting things together, or you need to become an interior decorator, or you need to go and work with the computer. Where would we be if someone who had the gift of encouragement had not spoken up and planted an idea in our head? We have the gift of giving. Now, that means giving of your time, giving of your talent. If you have, if you're a wonderful baker and the church is having some kind of thing, or the school, and you take the cake and they raffle it off and it makes $50 on your cake, well, you've given them a nice gift. So giving can be from the heart. It can be from your talent. But giving is a very important, we all know people who just have a heart of gold, and thank God for them. Doesn't always mean money. Now, let the rich people give money. That's how organizations keep running. But then most of us are going to give out of the heart if we love that organization. All right, and leadership. We have mayors, we have people high in the church, we have people high in the government. There are some people who do mercy healings, and that is, I think always of movies I've seen in New York City where the poor homeless people are lying on benches in the park. And these people go out at night with blankets and lanterns and coffee and food. This is what they do. This is their part of giving for the downtrodden.
So we have a lot of gifts, a lot of ways that people can give, and everybody has talents.
Yes.
I think that's what's important to know, is everybody does. And Pat, our show just flies by. I am so delighted you were able to join me. And I'm sorry that we have to conclude. Save your notes. We'll add it to what we're doing next time. Everybody, this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Our wonderful song that we end with is Shine by Dee Lemure. Next week, we're having Lincoln Gregar on. And if you haven't ever heard of him or know him, you are in for an absolute treat. Just his voice alone can put you into higher states of consciousness. So this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Right now, signing off. Thank you.
The sun rays on a shimmering sea.